Today's scripture reading is from Ezekiel 37, 1 through 6. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the word of the Lord to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jack.
All right, so our gospel reading today comes from the middle of a fairly long story of the raising of Lazarus. I'm just going to be kind of picking up a little bit of the narrative on the inside of that story from John 11, 28 to 35. So once again, let us listen for God's word for each of us. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." When she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were there with her in the house, consoling, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came also with her weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus began to weep. This is the word of the Lord. I like the, in this context, I like the King James version of the Bible, of that very last verse. Do you all know it? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words: Jesus wept. Two simple words. Two of the most important words in the New Testament, perhaps. Words that paint a picture of a thousand words about the character of Jesus, the compassion, the identity of Jesus, the Messiah. Two words that are kind of a window into his soul. The King James Version in John 11:35 reads, "Jesus wept." Well, why so meaningful? Well, he wept over the death of his friend Lazarus, who had died. He wept for Mary and Martha, the two sisters of Lazarus, who were in grief. Maybe he even wept for himself, because Lazarus was a friend whom Jesus loved. We know he spent a lot of time at the home of those three. So when Lazarus died, there was a pain in his soul, in his heart, and he welled up in tears. The version we read said Jesus began to weep. The author Frederick Buechner once wrote that if you get a tear in your eye, especially when it's unexpected, pay close attention, for it might be a sign of who you are and maybe where you should be going in the future. Or maybe it's an unexpected event or a poignant scene in a movie. It can hit you unexpectedly. In that moment, you experience something that brings a tear to your eye. An old photo album, maybe hearing a beautiful piece of music, singing a hymn like Amazing Grace, or others that have that emotional power to them. It can come out of nowhere sometimes, it seems. Not only unexpected events, but many other events can bring tears to our eyes as well for things happening in the world today, things that raise the profound theological question that has come down through the ages: where is God when it hurts? Where is God amid disappointment and tragedy? And not having an easy answer to that question sometimes leads to a feeling of despair and a lack of hopefulness about the future. Maybe you'd heard the story of the two little boys who were constantly causing trouble in their neighborhood. Little pranks and things went missing. So their mother sent them to see the pastor. And the pastor was a tall, imposing figure with a booming, deep voice. And when the boys got there, he started talking to them. And he finally said to them, "Where is God?" And the boys said nothing. And he repeated the question. He said, "Where is God?" louder. At that point, the boys just got up and ran from the office. They kept running all the way home. And their mother said, "What in the world happened?" And one boy said, "It's bad. God is missing, and they think we did it." So where is God when it hurts? Where is God when things don't go as you and I wish that they would? Well, fortunately, this story in John 11 gives us some insight into the kingdom of God and the truth of Jesus Christ. And I know this topic is not really easy to hear, as grief and tears are still very close to some of us. But during this Lenten season, as we look towards Easter, I also know this is where our faith meets the test of everyday living. So let me just share two basic, quick theological truths found in this story of the raising of Lazarus. Where is God when it hurts? Well, this story tells us. The first theological principle is, when we weep, Jesus weeps with us. In July 1952, General Dwight Eisenhower famously broke down in tears addressing members of the 82nd Airborne over his memory of sending men to Normandy. And the tears revealed an emotion that showed just how much he loved those men and the burden that had been with him those many years ever since. But it made people feel as though he, even though a 5-star general, and at that point a future president, had come down to their level. He was alongside of them in pain and grief. Jesus was the Son of God who came down to earth to be one of us. Those two words, "Jesus wept," say volumes about who he is. not some aloof deity somewhere up there in the heavens who doesn't care about the pain of the people. He comes down and gets into the pain, shares the pain. He wept himself. So it means when we try to make sense of situations like war or natural disaster or a tornado or a terrorist attack or something, and we ask, where is God? We know the answer is God is right there in the midst of pain, coming alongside of those who are experiencing difficulty. I'm sure today Jesus weeps with the people in Gaza who were bombed and starved, displaced from their homes, just as God weeps with those innocent civilians in harm's way this very day in this current war. God weeps with those in Ukraine who are struggling to find food after a hard winter. God weeps with all of those who face difficulty either at home or far away. But we know in the midst of the pain of the world, when we weep, Jesus weeps with us. But listen, this is not the end of the story. It's not enough to just leave it at that. We know from this story of the raising of Lazarus that tears are not the end of the story. So the second principle is that Jesus Christ redeems the brokenness in order to make us whole again. Ezekiel was the prophet. Ezekiel, the prophet, he led into that valley of dry bones we heard of in the first reading. And in this strange story, God asks the question, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel's answer is really perfect because it reflects both confidence and mystery as well when he says, oh God, only you know. And in John's gospel, Jesus traveled to Bethany to see Mary and Martha after their brother Lazarus had died. When he went there, both sisters were clearly upset with him. They had asked him to come earlier, but he did not come on their time schedule. And now look what happened. Lazarus died, and they're mad. Martha finally lets it all out when she says, Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then Mary, too, comes out and says, if you had been here, none of this would have happened. And they hang this enormous guilt feeling on Jesus, just as we sometimes do with each other in our families. Caroline's family used to have a really funny saying about these situations when they would say, it doesn't matter what went wrong, it only matters whose fault it is. So when he hears this, I believe he experiences a deep mourning in his soul. He felt what they felt. And he somehow redeems the brokenness and somehow makes it whole. Lazarus is raised. Jesus doesn't explain it on any grounds. In other words, there are reasons for these things happening that Mary and Martha and you and I can't understand. Have you ever had that experience of being angry or upset with God and ask that question, how could you allow this to happen? It's a very human experience to ask that question. But Jesus knew the raising of Lazarus was a symbol of his own resurrection, which was soon on the horizon, just as Easter is soon to come for us. It's the ultimate symbol that out of the pain and brokenness of life, God acts to redeem and restore and bring newness of life. Out of even the worst imaginable, God brings newness of hope and life eternally. Good news is, these stories are really not unique in the Bible. They're all over the Bible. I mean, when Daniel was in with the lions, remember him? God redeemed him. The people of Israel and Moses were trapped against the sea. God redeemed them. People visiting, hearing Jesus, were hungry. God redeemed them with a boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. We know that when Jesus was on the cross, crucified, dead, and buried, God redeemed him. The tough lesson here is, even out of despair and war and brokenness, we can never think that God has stopped working. In the New Testament, a man named Caiaphas said about Jesus, he said, "It is well that one person should die for the nation." He thought if we could just get rid of this Jesus of Nazareth, all would be okay. So the high priests plotted along with the Romans and had Jesus arrested, and they thought that it was finished. And even the last words of Jesus on the cross were, "It is finished." But he meant something different than Caiaphas, who figured Jesus was done for over and out. Jesus died and was raised so that we would be redeemed as well. And as we see in the Gospels, Jesus died for all, meaning the whole world, all who would accept him. In God's timetable, death is not a period at the end of a sentence. So when we ask, where is God when it hurts? Or if life just doesn't go our way, could we remember that God is working to redeem? And out of the brokenness comes wholeness. Would you remember that some years ago, outside a cave in Bethany, Jesus realized one of his friends had died? He saw the grief of Mary and Martha, and Jesus wept. Those two words that mean God is with us. He hasn't forgotten about us. He grieves with us. Those two words which make all the difference. Thanks be to God. Amen.